بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بالنور الفهم ونعم علينا عظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد إخواني، we've been studying أصول الفقه and we went into the introduction of أصول الفقه and the importance of أصول الفقه and we said that أصول الفقه is basically divided to four chapters, important chapters. It's divided to the حاكم, the ruler or the one that puts the law, and that's Allah Azza wa Jal. And then the second section is divided to the hukum, which is the ruling, halal or haram, and the rest of the obligations. And then it's divided on a mahkum alay, and he is the one that's been ruled. And that's what we'll talk today. Wal mahkum fihi, and the thing that's been ruled, and the action of the servants of Allah Azza wa Jal that have been ruled. Today, inshallah, as we said, we'll speak about the mahkum alay. Mahkum alay is the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending his laws and rules on. Okay, these rules and laws that Allah Azza wa Jalla sends it to. Who's that? It's the human being. I want to say the human being and the jinn, as the scholars maybe sometimes they mention the word jinn, because they are also mukallafin. And we said kilmat mukallafin means responsible. Take off this little part of the lesson. So, المكلف عنا التكليف. تكليف is the responsibility, which is the responsibility that Allah Azza wa Jal puts on the shoulders of the servants of Allah Azza wa Jal from doing things or not doing things. هذا بسمو التكليف. والمكلف هو الله عز وجل. He is the one that sends the responsibility down. والمكلف is us. So you see that word regularly, mukallaf. Mukallaf means someone that's been carried the responsibility. And that's what we're talking about. Mukallaf al mahkum alayh, same thing. Mukallaf, someone that's been responsible. Al mahkum alayh is the one that the orders been sent to. We said it's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming to the human being. And we said that anyone beside the human being, it's not considered to be mukallaf. So the animals are not mukallafin. And the angels, some scholars don't put them under the category of taklif. The angels are created to be like that. That's their way. They're created to be the worshippers of Allah Azza wa Jalla without taklif. That's how they are. That's their life. The jinn is mukallafin, we said. The jinn is mukallafin. And for the taklif, the main thing about taklif is the knowledge about the taklif. And the knowledge plays the most important part of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understanding the orders of Allah Azza wa Jal. With that knowledge, that's when taklif really applies. Now, when we talk about the taklif, you're talking about male or female. So it doesn't restrict the male and not the female, or the female and not the male. And from the taklif, we realize that district discrimination, which they call the scholars the tamiz. Tamiz is a very important thing that plays a lot in the fiqh and also fiqh. Tamiz means distinguishing or differentiation or differentiating or discriminating. And some scholars interpret and say the age of discrimination. The age of tamiz is the age of that child. A child is not mukallaf. A child is not mukallaf until the age of puberty. And inshallah we'll talk about that. But the child should be prepared for the taklif from the age of discrimination. So any child that's under the age of puberty, he's not mukallaf, that if he does wrong, Allah is going to judge him, or If he does not pray or do the obligations, Allah's going to judge him. Allah will only judge after the age of puberty. But these children, before the age of puberty, they must be prepared for the age of puberty. And that comes on the responsibility. And they must be prepared for the taklif before the age of puberty, and that responsibility lays down on the parent's shoulder. And that's why they call an age before the age of puberty, they call the age, there's an age called the age of discrimination, the age of tamiz. The age of discrimination is that it's the age that that child reaches to where he starts to understand what's right and what's good and bad for him, and starts to understand and relies on themselves, where they start knowing how to eat by themselves, drink, go to the toilet by themselves. They know the difference between, okay, a knife will cut, I shouldn't touch it, or if I want to grab it, I grab it from the proper way. But inna wallahi, like, you know how the children under that age, or, you know, under that age, they just grab anything, throw anything. Like my son the other day, he was playing with a scissor. Things, you know, the scissor's some game he plays with. It's not all that. But one day they reach to the age, okay, where they start knowing, okay, the scissors harm, so I can't play, it will touch it, it will cut me. You know what I mean? The electricity will harm, so I can't play around with it. They call that the age of discrimination. So they're not in the age of taklif, they're not in the age of puberty, but they're in the age of start discriminating between what's bad and good for them. They're in the age where they start relying on themselves, on the simple things, how to eat, how to drink, how to get a toilet, and so on, okay? But they haven't reached to the age of really relying on themselves. They call that age the age of tamiz. And most of the times that age is between 6 and 7. In Australia, maybe between 10 and 11. But usually, between 6 and 7. Usually, at the age of 6 or 7, children start to be aware of what's harmful and beneficial for them. In what, not everything harmful and beneficial for them, man. They'll probably, you know, this is probably a lot of harm. They think it's fun or beneficial for them. But we're sort of talking about the necessities. They know what's harmful and beneficial for them in their necessary life. Okay, for ages, the age of tamiz is a very important age. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, رُفَعَ الْقَلَمْ عَنَ الصَّغِيرِ حَتَّى يَكْبُرُ. That the pen, when you say رُفَعَ الْقَلَمْ, يعني, you know, that Allah, يعني, the qalam that the angels write with, to record your hasanat or sayyat, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Rufi al-Qalam, the pen has been paused or lifted up on the child until he grows up. Okay, with children, sahih, they're not, okay, sahih, as we said, they are not responsible until the age of taklif, but you have to understand, you have to get them prepared and trained before the age of the caliph. And that's why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, from his hikmah, he said, Mura awladakum ala salati, this 7 years, teach them how to pray. And then hit them on the age of 10. So it's not like when they turn the age of puberty, start teaching them. Let you prepare them before the age to get them ready. Now, as we said, Allah Azza wa Jalla does not judge them. No, he records on them hasanat or sayyat. Or sayyat or hasanat. They don't get none of those. They don't get no sayyat or hasanat. Some scholars say they do get hasanat, but majority of the scholars say they don't get hasanat. And if they do good, it goes back to the parents. If they do good, so. And as I said, some scholars do say they might get hasanat, but they don't get recorded any sayyat. But these kids, some of their actions is counted. Like, for example, if a child goes and buys something from the shop, and he buys something from the shop, and he gave money to the shopkeeper, that transaction is accountable. It's not an acceptable transaction, and the money that this child gave to the storekeeper didn't transfer to his account or didn't transfer under his ownership. No, it does proceed and it goes ahead. Things that benefit that child, anything that benefits that child, will, and that child does the action that benefits him of any type of transaction, it benefits that child, it proceeds. Because we said, Sahim, he hasn't reached the age of puberty, and the age of puberty is the age of responsibility. And because he's not in the age of responsibility, that means his actions are not accountable for or does not proceed. But any action that benefits that child and does not bring no harm to this child, then that action proceeds. As we said, buying or selling, if there's a benefit to that child, their benefit goes ahead. Or for example, accepting a present, okay, that action proceeds and goes ahead. But if that child has got money and he doesn't know what's beneficial for him, and he goes and gives that money to someone for $100, like, that action doesn't proceed, because this child is not aware of what he just did. So the father, the guardian, has the rights to go and take that $100 that he gave a present to this person back, because this child is not, his actions, this action just harmed him, and action such does not proceed only if it benefits that child. Like, for example, you married your son. You married your son off because you have the rights if you want to marry your son before the age of puberty. And then at that age, your son divorced his wife 100 times. The action does not proceed until the age of taklif. So there's any action before the age of taklif, before the age of puberty, that benefits that child, it proceeds. Any action that harms that child, it does not proceed. Okay, and some scholars said that all the actions must go back to the guardian. Whatever he accepts, accepts and proceeds. Whatever he does not accept, he does not accept and does not proceed. And as I said, the hadith revolves around all this revolves around the hadith. رفع عن قلم عن ثلاث عن الصغير حتى يكبر وعن المجنون حتى يفيق وعن النائم حتى يستيقظ. That the pen is being lifted up from three. From the young until the from the kid, children until they grow up, from the insane until they wake up to themselves, and from the one that sleep until they wake up from their sleep. Now, also the action of the children that worships and that also that proceeds, and takes place, and is acceptable. Well, as I said, the rewards, some scholars say, goes back to the parents. Some scholars say, goes back to him, and but with the fara'id, like the hajj, if a young child before the age of puberty goes and performs hajj, and his hajj is acceptable, but it's not, it's his hajj farida, how Allah Azza wa Jalla had ordained on us to perform hajj once in a lifetime, that does not go ahead until he's at the age of puberty. So if someone went to Hajj before the age of puberty, the Hajj is accepted, but it's not counted as being the Hajj Farida. It's counted as a reward that he did. So he's got to redo his Hajj when he grows up and after the age of puberty. So his Hajj Farida, or the Farida Tal Hajj, he could not be accountable for. Okay, also, the old man and woman that reached the age where they... بلشوا خرفوا, you know what I mean? They start, don't know what they're talking about. Like Habush, he's that age, you know what I mean? He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's reached the age of 80 something. And you tell him white, he'll tell you black. You know how some oldies that reach the stage, they don't even know who they're talking to, they don't even know who they're looking at. And so I went to my grandma, and sometimes she'll call me Muhammad, the other time she'll call me Mahmoud, the third time she'll call me Mabarif. She'll 100 names, she doesn't even know who's a brother. Okay, once they reach that age, Allah Azza wa Jalla does not account for it. They're not responsible. Their responsibility is not there. Only when they're sane, if their full brain comes back, then they're responsible. If not, then Allah does not judge them. No. We're still talking about the taklif, about the responsibility, in which when do you become responsible over your actions? Okay, one aspect is an ikrah. Ikrah means enforcement. To be enforced to do something that it's not in your hands to get out from. Ikrah is when someone comes and enforces you. For example, someone threatens to kill you if you're not going to do such an action. Or someone threatens to stab you if you're not going to do such an action. Ikrah happens a lot of things. It doesn't have to be a threat to kill. It could be threat to kill you or kill one of your members. A threat to take your money. Threat to demolish your house. Threat to any type of threat that brings harm to those five things that we spoke about yesterday, in which is your religion, your will, your religion, yourself, your wealth, your family, which is the ard, and your brains, your intellect. So al-ikra, okay, is an enforcement, someone that forces you to do something that's not in your hands. Okay, he's threatened you to harm you in any way or harm anything that's around you. Okay, if you do any action, when you are enforced to do it, then that action, okay, does not proceed. And of course, the type of action. Before I speak about the type of action, there's two types of ikrah. This ikrah bihaq, ikrah bighayr haq. There's an enforcement with rights, and enforcement without rights. Okay, the enforcement is with rights is when the judge, for example, he enforces you to go and sell your wealth, or he takes your wealth from you to sell it, so he could pay the debts. So he could pay your debts off to those ones who are claiming debts from you. So here the judge forced you. He probably even takes your wealth and sells it and pays off the debts to people. So this type of enforcement, it's an enforcement with rights, and it proceeds. Or for example, someone has got a problem with his wife, he's not fulfilling the rights of his wife and so on, and then the matter is taken to the court, and the judge finds that the female has the right to divorce from her husband, and then the judge will tell the husband, first of all, that's what they usually do, the judge will tell the husband, divorce her, and if he refuses to divorce her, then the judge will divorce that wife from that man, even by force. So here the judge did force. Does that force precede or not? It precedes. Why? Because it's force with rights. And he has the rights to enforce. The other type of enforcement is the enforcement with no rights. And if someone wants to take the money from me with no rights, and that's the enforcement where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not judge you from. Someone threatened to kill you and told you, say this and do that. And that enforcement is divided to two. One enforcement, is the qawli, the other one fi'li. Qawli is verbal and the other one is action. The verbal one is like someone threatened you and said, marry me your daughter, and if you don't, I'm going to shoot you. And then you end up marrying your daughter to him. That marriage is not acceptable. That marriage did not go ahead. That marriage did not proceed, even if there was 100 witnesses. You know what I mean? Okay, or someone said, divorce your wife. And he threatened to kill you, or to kill your wife, or to do any such an action to harm you, harm your wealth. And you divorced your wife, 1,000,000 times, come on. Does that divorce take place? It doesn't take place. Why? Because you are enforced with no rights. Okay? Or someone, for example, as we said, you know, put a gun in your head, and he said, swear Allah, or leave your religion. And he did. Like Ammar bin Yasir, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Does that kufr, is accountable? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِ إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِيَ وَقَلْبُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ. That whoever denies or disbelieves in Allah Azza wa Jal after his belief, only those ones who they were forced to disbelieve in Allah Azza wa Jal, but their hearts is comfortable towards the iman. So even that verbal enforcement, if someone forces you in something, you must be inside, they against it. But if someone forces you in something, divorce your wife, until they said, I couldn't wait till it come that time where I divorce my wife, and he divorced your wife, and it was from your heart, it's cannibal. Alhamdulillah, ijat minna ma ijat minna, tala, you know what I mean? That divorce is acceptable. And if something's got to be, and it all goes back to the intention and your acceptance to that such an action. The other type of enforcement without rights is the enforcement of an action. And that action is two types. One action is an action where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us and permits us to do in certain times, like eating the pork or drinking wine when it's time, when someone's too thirsty and is going to die, or someone that's dying from hunger and is going to, he sees pork in the middle of the desert. And the other action is an action that, no matter what the circumstances are, that action, you can't do it with, that action can't be done. That action can't be done whether there's darura or not darura. The first type of action, as we said, the action that Allah Azza wa Jalla permits us to do when there's a darura. If you are enforced to do the action and you did do it, the action does not proceed. But the other action is like zina, for example. Like zina, adultery, and the killing someone or injuring someone. You get enforced, yani for example, to commit adultery. Okay? Then you do not commit adultery. And I said that last week. Or you get enforced, for example, listen, I'll kill you if you don't kill this person. And you go and kill him. Yeah, sure, what did we get out of it? Well, the whole idea is not to, is for you to protect your soul, so you end up killing another soul. Or, I'll kill you if you don't injure this person. No, it's not acceptable. So that type of force is not acceptable. If you are forced, you don't act upon it. And if you do act upon it, you're accountable for it. And if you don't act upon it and you get killed, you die as a shaheed. مَنْ قُتِلَ دُونَ مَالِهِ فَهُوَ شَهِيد وَمَنْ قُتِلَ دُونَ أَهْلِهِ فَهُوَ شَهِيد وَمَنْ قُتِلَ دُونَ نَفْسِهِ فَهُوَ شَهِيد. And whoever dies to protect his wealth, he's a shaheed. Whoever dies to protect his ird, his family, is a shaheed. And whoever dies to protect themselves is a shaheed. So that type of action, which he don't have a reason to do, or there is no necessity for you to do, and you are forced to do the action and you refuse, then and you get killed and you die as a shaheed. The other type is that one, like for example, someone said, eat that pork or I'll kill you. Some scholars even differ. Some scholars say, no, you must eat that pork. And if you die, you didn't die as a shaheed. Yeah, some scholars say, because there is not much of a harm in that. Yani some scholars look at it that, which makes sense in a way. In Allah, yani, like, rather eat pork and protect your soul than, okay, yani you're getting yourself in a bigger harm than taking a smaller harm. And some scholars consider that, you don't accept it no matter what the circumstance. And die. Yani same thing, if someone, yani if you are forced to swear Allah, some scholars say, look, you do. If you are forced. And some scholars say, no, if you die, you die as a shaheed. And it's also a controversial topic among the scholars. The other type of taklif that we said, the other aspect that goes under the taklif on which we're talking about, the taklif is the mukallaf, is that responsibility that lies down on that person, is when someone loses the intellect. And losing the intellect, it goes into a lot of things. Like, for example, someone going insane. خلاص, he's a majnoon. He's lost his brains. He's not there. Okay? Whether he's born like that and his all his life is insane, or he's got his moods. This is that type of people. Some people go insane every here and then. Okay? During the insane period, you're not responsible. You're not responsible for your action, for your worship, nothing. And whether all your life is insane, or for example, if once a week you go insane, like as it is here in Australia, 3/4 of the people, yani, they go normal for one day of the week and the rest they go insane. Especially on the weekend, ma fi had hone, you know. Hello, when you talk about insane, you're not responsible for the action. For example, someone that's majnoon, okay, he went 24 hours, he wasn't all there, and he didn't pray. Does he have to make up that prayer? The scholars say no. If he's majnoon, he doesn't have to make up the prayer. It's like the whole day wasn't there. He's not there. The whole day is not there. And the other type of losing the intellect is fainting or going unconscious. Okay, sometimes people get unconscious. Like for example, the Pope died, people went unconscious, you know. Abdul Halim Hafiz died. How many people went unconscious? About 300-400 people went unconscious. Hafiz al Asad passed away. First away, Allahu A'lam, people went unconscious. Maybe they had to do it because the Mukhabara told them to do it, Allahu A'lam. But you know, some people get unconscious, you know what I mean? But we're talking about going unconscious and normal things, not stupid things like that. Okay, you know, someone went unconscious. You know, he saw something, went unconscious, his blood pressure went down. Okay, going unconscious, okay, Allah Azza wa Jalla does not judge you during the period of your unconscious, but is different to the one that's insane. You have to make up the prayer during that time that you were unconscious. And you have to make up the fasting. But if it's insane, yani someone, his brain is not there. Because he got unconscious, your brain is still there. But yani, you have, yani it's just your, yani you could say, shut down for a moment. But when you go insane, the brain is not there at all. Okay, so that's the difference there. Early, Allahumma, early, if you lose your mind, okay, because of a deliberate action of your own will, like for example, drinking wine or taking drugs, okay, what happens to you? You become unconscious, and that's a controversial topic. Some scholars, which the majority say, the action precedes. If someone drinks wine and he divorced his wife or did such an action because he was drunk, okay, majority of scholars, they say the action precedes. Minor number of scholars, including some of the Hanabil and Ibn Taymiyyah, they say that if you drink wine and you do any action during your unconsciousness of being drunk and so on, okay, your action does not proceed. Wallahu alam, and I go for the majority, because one of the reasons that Allah forbid you to do those things is not to fall in those things. So you put yourself in that, because I love the scholars that say that it does not proceed, that isolate that from that. You know, that's one thing. And that's another thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alam. So if someone, for example, does such an action because of a thing they did and made them reach to what they reached to because of drinking wine or taking drugs, and they did an action that forbidden, they're accountable for it. They're accountable for it. Like, for example, someone was on a heroin and he thought himself it was an orange, so he started to pull off his skin. Yeah, he thought he was an orange and started to pull off his skin, thinking that he's an orange, and started to eat his blood. So they're not there. Yeah, though, especially people on drugs, they start imagining things. They're worse than people drunk. People drunk, they don't even know what they're doing. When people on drugs, they start imagining things. They start thinking, they look an ape and they think that, the most beautiful woman on earth. They're not there. For these people, I can't afford it.
You have to get the intention to get something out of the performance.
ما هاي الخلاف بس الجمهور بس هاي الخلاف الموجود عليه بس الجمهور بضل يحكي إنه إذا كان ما هاي اللي أنا قلت له إنه هاي الخلاف الجمهور على ما في إلا بس بعض الحنابلة
فقط أركان من أو شروط من
بس
الأشياء حتى إن كان
يعني السبب اللي الله حرم هالشيء هذا حتى ما يقع هيك، فأنت وضعت حالك بمحرمات أو قعدت حالك فيها. على كل حال هي موضوع خلاف بين العلماء. The other thing is people that also that are not responsible, those people that did not get the message of Islam, they are not responsible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not judge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not judge does not judge those non-Muslims that did not receive the message of Islam. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. They will not judge anyone until we send a message or a prophet. So the non-believers that did not get the message of Islam are not responsible or accountable. Also, there's new Muslims into Islam are very far away from scholars and knowledge. I did not get the opportunity to learn Islam or to increase the knowledge about Allah Azza wa Jalla, to increase the knowledge about the halal haram, and they did such an action. For example, someone who did not know, for example, drinking wine Islam is haram, and he just turned into Islam, and is very far away from Muslims and Muslim scholars, and he drank it. Okay, he's not accountable during the short time of period of him being a Muslim. But later on, if he's given that time where he could seek knowledge, then that's when they become accountable. Okay, and also the marid, the sick, he's still accountable, and still mukallaf. But there are some things that Allah Azza wa Jal makes easy on them. Like, for example, not fasting in Ramadan and not standing up in the prayer and so on. Okay, so these are just important things to be mentioned in regards of the taklif and the mukallaf, and who is the mukallaf, and when the taklif becomes an obligation on a human being. I guess inshallah, I'll stop over here. Okay, just the last piece, a bit confusing, I don't want to confuse the brothers. Inshallah, these, as I said, these are about the taklif and the mukallaf. And with finishing of this topic, we finished the three main topics, which is al-mukallif, al-hakim, which is Allah Azza wa Jal, wa-taklif, which is the hukum, and that's the laws and obligations, and the rulings, and al-mukallaf wal-mahkum alayh, which is the one that's been ordained, and the one that's got the taklif in him. And we've got the last thing is fi'l al-taklif, and inshallah that'll be a very intense topic. How do we know the different adilla different ways of proofs and evidence that we use to know that such an action is halal, haram, and that includes, of course, the Quran and Sunnah, and what's under them from the agreed upon proofs like ijma' and measurements, and then the rest of the other types of proofs and evidence like madhab al-sahabi, madhab man qablana, al-istislah, al-istihsan, and the rest of the other adilla and proofs, inshallah, we'll talk in details, inshallah. Inshallah, we'll stop over here. Subhanaka Allah, bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, we'll pray two rak'ah. Inshallah, let's go ahead to the center so we start cleaning up the center before it's too late. Well, jazakum Allah khair.